Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Ken Adelblue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach for the Montana State Billings Lady softball team, coming off their first action of the season, going 2-3 as part of the MSUB Desert Stinger in Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, obviously, I know going down, you want to win every game. You end up losing one more game than you won, but I know that isn't always telling the story. How in general did you play down there, Tony?
Well, I thought overall we played well. We won our first ball game against the Academy of Art 4-1. Opening the season with a win is always important. But not only that, opening the season with a win against a team who had previously been undefeated, that was big for us. I think that gave us a lot of confidence going into the second game, which was against Grand Canyon. Leading 1-0 going into the seventh with one out, we thought we had it in the bag, and unfortunately, you got to get more than one out per inning. so they ended up tying it up and winning it in extra innings. First day was good. We played very, very well defensively, which is not always the case when we were indoors the entire time leading up to the tournament. We got to Las Vegas. We got to practice outside a couple of times before we started playing, and you can just kind of see how when the ball's coming at the players, they tend to react differently when it's in real dirt. So I'm always a little nervous about how that might translate into a game. But the good thing is that we played tremendous defense. We had no errors in those first two games. And I think we had four errors overall in five games. So, the first day was excellent. Second day, we split again, won our first one, lost the second one. I don't think we played as well the second day as we did the first day. But we split that day. Last day against Dixie State, it was, just one of those things. We were ready to play, wanted to play well, and it ended up that we didn't. But overall, I think going down there, being outside for the first time, I was pretty happy with what we, 2-3. We would have liked to have done better. We were certainly in the mix to have done better in terms of wins and losses. But, I'm very happy with the way we played. So overall, I'm pleased with it.
Yeah, when you take a look at it, particularly from a defensive standpoint, you lose both your corners from last year. You're replacing your entire outfield in terms of, people that started the majority of games for you. And I know all those players tend to get a lot of time in with doubleheaders and what have you. But that few errors with that big of a changeover and the fact that you alluded to the fact that you really haven't been outside, that is impressive.
It's also encouraging. I mean, it makes me very optimistic for the rest of the year. You mentioned that we turned over our entire outfield. We had three seniors start in the outfield for us last year. Now I've got two sophomores and two junior college transfers that are basically fighting for the majority of playing time out there. Pretty young out there. However, two catches, one by Amanda Hood in the game against Hawaii Hilo. She was in foul territory. Just flare-out dive, made a great catch. Tasha Meyer, probably the best catch I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not kidding. We had a kid up to bat, left-hander, jerks the ball into the right center gap. Tasha's in right. I see her go for it. I thought there's no way she's going to get to it. Just absolutely no way. Then all of a sudden she's, swan diving and the ball finds her glove. I think that ignited everybody. But in terms of the aggressive play, Bobby Lee in center field, solid as a rock. I mean, just unbelievable. Anything that went up into the air in the center field, she caught. She got to it. As they don't have the experience, they certainly looked like they had the experience this past weekend. And that's why I'm so optimistic about, the rest of the season. Infield, Stevie and Whitney up the middle did very, very well. Madison Smith and Angela Lingle split time at third, but Casey Hoffman played first for the entire tournament. And Casey's just a great hitter, great player, great overall in terms of her softball knowledge. So with that in mind, I think if our pitching can keep us in the ball game, I know our defense definitely will. Pretty optimistic about what we got coming in.
You had an interesting point, though, you know, at this point of the season, and of course it's a little bit frightening, I know, because just right around the corner you already begin a Great Northwest Athletic Conference play on the 27th and 28th, but really at this point of the season, I suppose there is a lot of auditioning for minutes, and the fact that they haven't been outside puts a little extra pressure on the girls to perform in the game, you know, because, you know, sometimes I think you can emphasize too much who's starting and who's not starting, because I know with doubleheaders and everything else, you know, players get a lot of playing time, whether they're out there on a full-time basis or not. But nonetheless, these girls are really trying to show you something.
Absolutely. And that's something that we talk about quite often in terms of improving. If you improve, if I can see that you are improving, we talked about this last night as well. You know, the competition within the team at positions, certain positions, you know, whether it be left field, whether it be first base, whether it be catcher, if there's good competition on your team at those positions, at any position really, it's going to help your team get better. The team will then improve, and whoever's out there, they're going to keep you in any ball game. So, you know, we talk about that a lot in terms of improvement on a daily basis, but overall, we've discussed more in depth and more specifically this year, you know, inter-team competition, that, you know, not everybody is locked into a position. And I compare it to interviewing for a job. You know, when you go for a job interview, you want them to know that you want this job. It's the same thing out on the field. You know, you want me to know that you want to play, then show me. Tell me. Show me what you're going to do to help this team improve on a daily basis.
We're going to be talking a little bit more about the Desert Stinger and also about the upcoming games on the second part of the Coach's Show with Tony Stone.
Johnson drops back. He's in the pocket. He's, man, number 58 came out of nowhere. What a sack. They heard that hit clear up on the high line. Looks like Johnson's down. He's grabbing his knee. Trainers are coming out to the field. Yeah, looks like he's done.
The risk of injury is part of any sport. When injuries happen, turn to the doctors at AMP. AMP doctors are the leading experts in sports medicine and are committed to keeping athletes safe and getting them back into the game. AMP, athletic medicine and performance. Learn more at ampmontana.com.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Canada Blue talking with Tony Stone, the head coach for the Montana State Billings softball team, going 2-3 in the opening tournament of the year in Las Vegas, a team tournament that was actually hosted by Montana State Billings. But, you know, one of the strengths on this team coming into the year, despite the fact that you did lose some great seniors, was considered pitching, of course, with Casey Condor coming back. Josie Grotbo had an awful good freshman year for her. Lindsay Trinari took a year off. She came back. Looked like she had some nice numbers there in Las Vegas in general. Let's talk about the pitching staff, because let's face it, you can't talk softball without talking about pitching.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise for us, but a very nice surprise, was Lindsay Trinari and her performance. She had 7 2/3 innings, I believe, gave up no earned runs, and I don't believe she even gave up an unearned run that I remember. That is very encouraging. I think Casey just had one of those weekends where it wasn't her best. She knows it. But once Casey reaches that point, if we can get, you know, Lindsay into the mix where, you know, she's keeping teams at bay, where they're not scoring a bunch of runs off her, you add into the mix Josie, I think we're going to be okay. I think just, you know, I think nerves may have got to Casey a little bit. I think they may have gotten to Josie a little bit. I think, you know, Slim, as we call her, I think she showed that it you know, didn't matter. She was just happy to be there. She wanted to be there. Anytime I gave her the ball, she just got it in her head that she was going to do well. One thing that we talked about the past couple of days since we've been back, as far as our pitching staff goes, is how important it is to get ahead of the hitter. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that Slim did that I don't think Josie and Casey did do. They were just pitching into too many hitters counts. And if we can get away from that, you know, we're going to be okay, because an off weekend for Casey, an off weekend for Josie, that's not going to happen that much.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
So I think it was good for them to get out there and get this experience now. Brush it off. Hey, at least you've been in the dirt. So when we do get into conference play, you know, they'll have a little bit of experience behind them that they can just press forward. You know, no worries. We know that they're better than that. We know that they had an off weekend. And, you know, with Slim proving that she can still get it done after a year layoff, I really like what we can do in the circle.
I saw a statistic one time. It just absolutely fascinated me, and I guess it probably shouldn't have because I knew it was the case, but I did know to the extent it was actually a baseball statistics in the, at the major leagues, but they were showing what batters hit during particular pitch counts, and they were showing like 1 and 2 was right around 100, and then all of a sudden it started showing when the pitch count was in their favor, their batting average went up tremendously. At this level of the game, if you get behind an account, and even as hard as Josie throws, if they're sitting on a fastball at this level, it's very difficult to throw it by anybody.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing for any pitcher, baseball, softball. Get ahead of the hitter. And, you know, that's why we do all the scouting reports that we do. That's why we, you know, as far as the pitching charts that we make, we know who's going to swing at the first pitch for the most part. We know who's going to lay off the first pitch for the most part. So, you know, we want them to be behind, you know, from a pitching standpoint. We want to be ahead. So it's like you said, the statistic changes dramatically when a hitter is behind. Conversely, from an offensive standpoint, we look at it in the same way, is that, you know, if a pitcher is going to throw you a first pitch strike, don't be the scouting report where you're just going to lay off of it. If it's a good pitch to hit, swing it. Regardless if it's first pitch, third pitch, doesn't matter, because you don't want to go behind on a pitcher's pitch. You don't want to get behind on their terms. You know, if you're going to get behind on your terms, because I think it builds confidence that if you swing at a pitch, even if you swing and miss, you know you gave yourself a chance to hit the ball. Flipping that back to the pitchers, you know, it is a strong vote of confidence that you're pitching ahead of a hitter. If you're pitching behind, that's when you have to come out over the plate. When you're pitching ahead, well, you don't have to show them anything too nice out over that plate. So we have talked at great length with Josie, with Casey, with Slim. Hey, get ahead of the hitter. If you can do that, chances are you're going to be successful.
How about offensively? I mean, we've talked about the defense, obviously very, very sharp. Some nice performances, particularly from Trenary on the mound. Offensively, I think, obviously, it takes, you know, we talked about practicing inside. It's not just the infield. You know, they don't get a lot of practice against, obviously, live pitching. I know Kelly Parsons had a home run in the first game. It looked like he had some nice individual performances. In general, offensively, how'd you feel about the way the team played?
Decent. And I think I expected, you know, what sure. We did. You know, there's going to be some people that are going to stand out. There's going to be some people that will stand out through the entire season but might start off a little bit slow. And we had that. I think Bobby Lee, Casey Hoffman, they were, you know, something ungodly, like 7 for 13, mm-hmm. 6 for 12. You like to see that out of, you know, your younger players, such as Bobby Lee. And she's only a sophomore this year. You know, she can go into a tournament and hit 700. I really like that. Casey Hoffman, the junior college transfer from Chemeketa, her first at-bat was moonshot bomb to describe it. And then Kelly Parsons, same thing. I expected us to be a little bit rusty. I would like to see it improve. I think with the way I like to see us swing the bat, the one thing, you know, that I did like is that we were aggressive in the zone. We had a couple of strikeouts looking, but for the most part, if we were striking out, we were striking out swinging, which is encouraging. We're not looking at good pitches going by. If we see a good pitch to hit, we swing it. The one thing offensively that I think that we didn't do well was bunting. And, you know, it's such a crucial part of the game that I think gets overlooked. And we have worked a tremendous amount on bunting. And we went into that weekend, and I was pretty confident in, you know, if we needed to bunt, if the situation called for it, we'd get it down. But we had a lot of trouble with that. So, you know, overall, I expected us to be somewhat rusty. I think we hit maybe 250 for the tournament, which isn't indicative of what I think we're capable of. But, you know, first time outside, first time seeing some, you know, live pitching from other people, it's, you know, we got our hacks in at times, and, you know, at times I think we struggled. So it was expected, but, you know, we'll improve. I'm not real happy with what we did, but I'm encouraged by what I saw.
Well, they got some big games coming up, Western Washington and Western Oregon, just around the corner. We'll talk about that with Tony Stone on the third part of the Coach's Show.
Who Hot?
What's hot?
Who Hot?
Who Hot?
That's right. Who Hot, the exciting Mongolian grill concept that's conquering the nation, and Billings will not be spared.
Mongolian grill?
Who Hot Mongolian grill has over 50 fresh meats, vegetables, noodles grilled before your very eyes. Choose from 12 specialty sauces or create your own. From simple soy to super hot Kung Pao Yao. Grab a bowl and load up. Repeat as necessary.
Who Hot Mongolian grill, King Avenue West, Billings.
Where hunger meets its destiny.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Tony Stone, the head softball coach here at Montana State Billings. Boy, jumping right into it. You go in with a 2-3 mark, taking on Western Washington in a doubleheader on Saturday and Sunday, February 27th and 28th. And then you'll be on the road March 6th and 7th against a team that was picked as co-favorites along with you in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. You know, as big a deal as the as getting the thing started off in Las Vegas was, obviously the start of the season, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, the conference play is always going to be very important. Western Washington didn't fare so well last year. They had a lot of injuries, and very significant injuries at that. They are much better. And Western Oregon, same thing. They may not have fared as well as they may have liked to, but as we get better, so do other teams. I think this is going to be one of the most competitive years in the Great Northwest. I think at any time, you know, any of the top four teams right now could potentially end up in first place. You include St. Martin's and Northwest Nazarene, who have improved dramatically as well. It's going to be a very, very difficult conference to win. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think that competitive nature is good in that, you know, the more we play, you know, the top teams in our conference, the more it's going to prepare us for the postseason. And as I've always said, that's our goal. We want to make the postseason every year. And, you know, if we're playing the best teams, that will help us improve. Starting out with Western Washington and Western Oregon, I think it's going to be, you know, a good indicator to see where we're at. Road trips are always tough, and it's even tougher when you're playing really good teams. So, you know, we're going to see what we're made of in conference early on this year.
And the neat thing about it is, too, and you say you wouldn't have it any other way, and I think you'll probably agree here, too. You got a bit of a target on your back, being the reigning Great Northwest Athletic Conference champions. I know each year is a little bit different, but I suspect when somebody looks and they see the Yellow Jackets on their schedule, they probably get maybe a little more pumped up than they should. I know coaches always say you want to be pumped up for every game, but, I mean, it's human nature. There's just certain games that you mark on the calendar, so you've got that going for you as well.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I think these girls have done is they have not allowed that pressure to overcome them. It's difficult when you're picked first. You're expected to play at a high level, and there's a lot of pressure there. But so far, I haven't seen that. The girls are out there playing well. They're playing. They're to have fun. They're really enjoying themselves right now. If we can continue to do that, I think we'll end up where we want to at the end of the year. However, you have to be able to do that consistently. You have to be able to play that way consistently. That's the challenge. We got a ton of potential. We got a lot of young faces. We got a lot of new faces that are going to have to step in and take on a very difficult role of playing, you know, Division II softball in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. If we can do that, if we can, you know, keep the pressure on the other teams and not so much put it on ourselves, I think we'll be, you know, happy with where we'll end up at the end of the year. But that being said, it's going to be consistency that tells us whether or not we're going to make it to the postseason. Because, you know, Western Oregon, they won the conference 2 years ago, came back this last year, and they ended up taking third. They were picked to win it, you know, the 2 years prior, and Seattle, at the time when they were in our conference, a very good team. You know, the preseason polls, I think those are all skewed somewhat in that, you know, in our case, we graduated seven seniors. We got a lot of new people that have to step in and take on some very significant roles out on the field. A lot of changes. It's very unpredictable in terms of who's going to be where at the end of the season. But, you know, the consistency will tell the tale. If we can play consistent, I like our chances this year.
You probably already sort of answered this question in talking about some of the problems you had in terms of bunting, pitchers getting ahead on counts. But when you're looking at the situation right now, what have you kind of been focusing on this week and that you'll focus on next week in preparation for the beginning of the GNAC season? The
biggest thing this week was rest. We went to Las Vegas early, and, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we had to do in terms of the team setting up for the tournament that the other teams didn't have to deal with. We tried to limit that as much as possible. However, there's always some setup when you're hosting a tournament, and especially when you're hosting it away from your campus. So there were some things that we went through that I think wore us out. We had a long bus ride back, and, you know, it took its toll. So this week it's rest. Let's get healthy. Next week we'll hit it hard. We'll start practicing, you know, with more intensity. But this week was more, let's concentrate on resting. Let's concentrate on making sure we're healthy so that when we do go into practice next week, we can pick up, you know, the intensity. We can, you know, do some more things in terms of focusing on our bunting, focusing on our hitting, pitching and defense. And I think that will lead us up into a pretty good weekend.
Western Washington doubleheaders on Saturday and Sunday, February 27th and 28th. The next week they'll be at Western Oregon, and then they'll have the beginning of their home schedule, March 12th and 13th against Northwest Nazarene. Tony Stone, congratulations on what appears to be a pretty nice start, and best of luck against Western Washington.
All right, thank you, Ken.
Been the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show with Tony Stone and Ken Adeblue. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.